Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Welcome to the show this week. We're delighted to have Paul Smith back on the show. He has previously worked with the Football Association of Ireland, and he's going to discuss the issues and corruption that have come to light within the FAI, and in particular the Chief Executive, John Delaney, which is very interesting. And, you know, it's a shame that it's happened, but it's interesting to get Paul's perspective on it. So after the break, we'll talk to Paul Smith. The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com. Paul, welcome to the show again. So we wanted to talk a bit about corruption in sport and soccer primarily, and there's been a lot of issues back home with the Football Association of Ireland and issues with the chief executive and the board. Where are we at with all of that?
Well, I suppose, Kevin, it's like everything. If I had the answer to that, you and I probably wouldn't be talking. We would have set up a clean sporting environment for all to play and succeed in. Yeah, I suppose, you know, back here in Ireland as well, obviously with everything that has gone on in the past weeks, I suppose, and what has come out in the press and other forms of media, it's not great reading for the Football Association of Ireland. And I suppose, personally, I think a lot of people at grassroots level of the game have been let down unbelievably so by the revelations. And again, some are only allegations, so we have to, I suppose, tread carefully allegations at the moment in some certain things. But I suppose, like everything, Kevin, if someone makes a faux pas of something, you certainly wouldn't keep those people in to give them a new blueprint to make sure it doesn't happen again. And unfortunately, a root and branch change within the soccer scene in the Republic of Ireland is now, I suppose, what many are calling for, and I would actually say the majority of people want to see happen now.
Now, we'll get into the kind of more fine details of what has happened in the Football Association Ireland, but is one of the problems that the same people have been in charge for way too long and there hasn't been maybe fresh blood in there, and it's kind of been a jobs for the boys scenario?
Yeah, I suppose, Kevin, like everything, you know, I know there's people listening who are chairpersons and secretaries and treasurers of their own clubs in your own area in this as well. And, you know, really, people in roles should be turned around every 3 to 5 years. I think when people get there and are in there longer than that, I think it can breed, breed contempt in some circles. And it also probably isn't healthy, because people with fresher ideas, we can all go stale when we're in something for too long. And that's just life. And it's no different when you get in on a board of management or you're on a board of a club in any shape or form. But yeah, I suppose the organization that is, it's a powerful organization, the FAI. There is obviously a big, I suppose, reluctance to delve into it too deep. But I'd be very honest with you. You know, the criticisms that have been sort of, you know, laid at people's doors, these questions are being asked, and they do need answers. And again, as I go back to Kevin, it is the grassroots people and at grassroots level that suffer in all of this. And to be honest with you, when some people were quoting that's all they had in their heart was to promote grassroots football and promote Irish soccer, you know, it wasn't the case, and that's clear for everyone to see. But again, some of the stuff, as I said, allegedly has to go through a system and a process now. And I'll be very honest with you. Obviously, I see change happening in the next 6 to 8 months, because the soccer public will not put up with this for any longer. They need to see change, and change needs to happen. And after change happens, Kevin, it's how effective we can manage that change with the people that come in there, and to build the trust back with the soccer public. And that's from schoolboy, schoolgirl soccer up to even supporters going along to our international games against Gibraltar and Denmark.
So it started with the chief executive, John Delaney, apparently giving a loan to the association.
Yeah, well, Kevin, I suppose to talk about the so-called 100,000 loan, I suppose that was something that, you know, it was previously undisclosed as a financial arrangement. And then all of a sudden it was brought up in a newspaper article in the Times, I think it was here. Where it was loaned. So then obviously questions then were asked about that. But there is still an overriding sense that there are still obviously a lot more questions, as I said earlier, than answers have been given. And some of which, like now, you would be expected that, as you say, the then CEO, John Delaney, in the Oireachtas hearing as well, you know, obviously brought for various other reasons a lawyer with him. And obviously he was... to answer some of the questions in the forum in the Oireachtas. So from that, it was probably, as I said, disappointing, because, as I said, the people on the ground just want to get to the bottom of it and ultimately then move on thereafter. I don't think the game of soccer will suffer. I just think the association will suffer in the short term. But I've no doubt with the right people, and some of the people being mentioned, the likes of Niall Quinn and obviously former employee also in Brian Kerr, those type of people, were sort of mentioned, and they've been talking extremely passionate about the game and, you know, the direction it needs to go, probably in this country as well. So I'm sure the caliber of that type of person and others like them maybe as well would be people that will give it a direction, will set and chart a course for the association to bounce back bigger and better than ever, because they really do have the heart of the football people in their heads and in their minds as well.
Yeah, and just for the American listeners, the Oireachtas was a government committee that brought the chief executive in front of them to answer some questions, and he decided not to answer the questions and went with his lawyer, which I don't think was a great move on his behalf. But just moving into some of the names you mentioned there, Niall Quinn and Brian Kerr. We've talked about Brian Kerr before, one of Irish great coaches and recruiters and managers, and surely now is the time that, you know, during this reform, they can bring someone like him back into the association.
Yeah, just to finish up on the John Delaney, and like John Delaney not being able to answer questions and whatever, and like that was, let's not forget that's his right to do that in the Oireachtas if that's what he felt is the right and appropriate action at that moment in time. But to be honest with you, Kevin, I suppose it's big enough for the former CEO, all right, but there are huge, huge, huge questions to be asked of the board as well. Never questioned anything, any misgivings. They never questioned other things now that you're hearing, just not just 100,000. Things were said to three or four board members, and the other six, maybe five or six board members weren't involved in those conversations. So there are serious questions to be asked throughout the board, and not just, it doesn't stop at John Delaney's door. So that's when you have to look back further and look at the period of time that the former CEO, and also how he has actually surrounded himself with people who will naturally, you know, be there to protect him also and themselves in the process. So it's not just about one person. There is a culmination of people that need to actually be accountable. The one thing, Kevin, I see coming out of all of this is accountability. And every time you do something, always remember it has consequences. No matter in life or in business, there's always a consequence to it. And unfortunately, this is accountability time. And it's not just solely at John Delaney's door, as I said, or whatever. It's not just about John. It's about the other people that he surrounded himself with. I'm not saying maybe they saw, you know, the trips away, you know, the 60 by 40 all weather and a nod and a wink put in for them. I'm not casting any aspersions in that shape or form, but that's what's coming back from the grassroots people on the ground. And again, they're the ones that really need to be protected by the new structure going forward within the associations.
So you talk about accountability there, Paul, which and it seems like it was just a real issue with governance, proper governance of the association. Now, just to be fair to John Delaney and the association, like good things that they did over the years as well, Paul, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Developing grounds and getting better playing surfaces, getting floodlit all-weather pitches. So there definitely was some very, very positive steps forward by John Delaney and obviously the people around them, around the country as well, who he did help. And come here, that unfortunately gets lost in, I suppose, the mess that it's now in, Kevin. But to answer your question, yes, of course there was positive things. But unfortunately, when you look at it, now you're sort of saying, as someone, again, that's looking at the whole picture of the game, is if they were so successful in getting different things over the line and different projects to turn dreams into realities for clubs around the country, imagine if it had been managed better, how many more facilities we would have had around the country.
Yeah, I agree. And there's talk now, or I think it's already happened, is it that Mooney is coming in for 6 months? He's a figure in Ireland who's been working, I believe, with FIFA or UEFA, and he's going to come back in to help. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember Noel actually in a position back in my within the FAI many years ago, and he seemed to move quite quickly through the ranks and into UEFA. And I would know Noel as well, an ambitious young man back when I knew him. I'm not saying he's not ambitious or a young man anymore. he's a middle-aged man and ambitious now, I suppose. But I suppose, like everything, UEFA see Noel as probably a little bit. Obviously, they're putting allegedly 10 million euros into the association to, you know, I suppose get over the hump here a little bit. But Kevin, it's a little bit like when the Troika came into town back in the day to sort out our banking problems in Ireland when it all went a little bit pear-shaped, Celtic Tiger days. And it sort of reminds me a little bit of that, a mini Troika. I'm just concerned of when wages have to be paid, projects that they have to finish out on, international wages for players have to be divvied out. There's not going to be a lot of that 10 million left. And you're just concerned a little bit of when that money runs out. Is there, you know, another 10 million? Will the association be self-sufficient and able to run, profitably? Or will there be more contingency plans have to be put in place? Noel obviously would have known the former CEO extremely well, and their paths would have crossed on many occasions through UEFA dealings. To be honest with you, I think one guy helped the other guy. So, yeah, Kevin, I think the soccer public, I suppose, would see probably Noel Mooney coming into the association in a short-term basis with UEFA, and that's all it would be, because obviously Noel would have been seen to be, you know, a supporter of the former CEO. And from that point of view, I think it would be on a short-term basis. Obviously, UEFA have him in there. But my fear, as I say, would be, you know, when the 10 million infusion of money goes into the association, how long does that last for? And is there another contingency plan needed thereafter, or will the association be self-sufficient going forward after that? So, Kamir, a lot of questions to be still answered.
Yeah, and just going back to Brian Kerr, because I listened to a very interesting piece on Off the Ball earlier with Curtis Fleming, former Belvedere player, played for Pats, went over and played for Middlesbrough, obviously an international player back home. And he talked about Brian Kerr and how crazy it was that he wasn't involved. We've talked about it before. He also talked about how Brian, which you've mentioned many a times, would be at a U7 game, a U10 game, a U11 game, a pub team game, a professional game. He just loves soccer. It's in his blood. Surely this is the opportunity to bring him back in.
Well, I'll be very honest with you, Kevin. If he doesn't come back in now, I'd throw my hat at it, to be very honest with you. I remember being at the Sarri Games. Sarri was for inclusion of people from other countries, ethnic backgrounds and whatever. And I remember seeing Brian in the Phoenix Park. It's our main public park and people's park in Dublin City. And only not so many years ago, he had his shorts on in a pair of runners. It was a lovely sunny day and he was marking pitches. And that was only a few years ago. And as you say, that's Brian Kerr. Brian Kerr is basically, soccer is his life. He's made a living out of soccer. He continues to make a living out of soccer. But unfortunately, I would love to see him making a living out of soccer in a different way. And I tell you, the way it would be absolutely leading from the front and bringing Irish soccer back to where it deserves and where it's needed. And especially with our underage, as I said, with the likes of Colin O'Brien and Tom Moen, who are managing away brilliantly, in fairness to the two guys as well, what they've done. And Colin more recently in the under-17 tournament. Didn't lose a game. Unfortunately, we had all the draws. But on a good platform and some good young fellas, and just Brian Kerr could enhance.
So just changing topic, Paul, you're involved in a really exciting project yourself. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, Kevin. I've teamed up with a couple of guys, Carl Cooley, who's into the digital marketing side of sport, and a former pro tennis player, actually, as well. We have come together with Darren Randolph, Ireland's number one goalkeeper, and obviously he's at Middlesbrough at this moment in time as well, coming off a fantastic season there. He made the championship team, and he also was player of the year. So Darren is a hugely successful, goalkeeper in his own right. But yeah, Kevin, we started up in academy. We're looking at camps, obviously summer camps, initially, and putting together an academy for clubs. We'll have probably a dozen camps in Ireland this coming year. And obviously, what we're doing is Darren's dad is a Florida boy. And obviously, with his dad being an American and his mom being Irish, I think there's a synergy there to bring Darren across the water to the States. And this summer, the 21st to the 24th, we're going to New York. Darren will be with us on the trip. And we're basically looking to formulate and, join in with some clubs in around the New York area. We also are bringing it probably next year to Atlanta, and we'd be definitely bringing it to the Tennessee area also, down in Nashville and Memphis for 2020. So it's a fantastic it's a fantastic new venture for me with Darren, and Darren's hugely excited about the project going forward.
Yeah, it seems very exciting, and it seems like a great team there. You have one guy who's very good on the digital marketing. You have Darren, who's a top professional. And then obviously with your fantastic background as a development officer in the association and all the other kind of things you've done, it seems like a great team, and it's exciting times. How did it come about that the team got together?
Well, without boring your listeners with the detail, it's like everything. How does anything start off, or a relationship? A lot of the times people say they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I was in the right place at the right time. And it was through a mutual friend that I was actually at another meeting in a hotel in Dublin discussing something completely different when my path crossed with an old colleague of mine. We got chatting and we basically were discussing, what we were at this present moment in time. And I told him, and I told him I'm always on the lookout for a new project. And I suppose there began the relationship now that I have with Darren Randolph going forward. Yeah. So at this moment in time, Kevin, obviously Darren is obviously a goalkeeper. But the camps that we're looking at doing would be elite academy camps for goalkeepers, the best goalkeepers. But on the camp side of it, obviously, it would be mainstream. So not just for goalkeepers. What we want to do, obviously, this year in 2019, when we decided to, you know, push on there, I'm only involved in the project the last 10 to 12 weeks, so a few months. So it's a hugely exciting time. It's, I'm in my 50th year now of life, and it's a great shot in the arm to get back involved in the game I love. So our approach would be we would link in with clubs and build a relationship with them, especially stateside now around the New York area when we're over. Our plan is to work then with the clubs pretty much all year round, so that the players and their coaches benefit from, you know, what we would have, the best coaching, best education and best opportunity available to them.
So, Paul, you're looking to do player and coach education, I believe, correct?
Yes. What that would entail is, you know, governing bodies will obviously in the States, here in Ireland as well, they have very good coach education programs, but some coaches just don't think that, well, they don't have the time with their workload and family life and stuff. So we're actually going to bring short bursts of link type courses and workshops to the club. So it's more user friendly, where the guys and girls that are coaching can actually, you know, we come to them as opposed to them having to go off to a venue. So we come to the club to, further educate them in different aspects of age group specific stuff that they might be dealing with at their club.
Yeah, it sounds brilliant, Paul. And I know you're already having success in Ireland. So we're looking forward to getting you back over here in America and implementing that. And I'm sure it'd be a great success. And we really appreciate you coming on the show, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and to your listeners. Take care.
The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com.